The title of today's talk is Body Belongs to Soul and Not the Other Way Around. Today is Easter, a day that we mark with the celebration of the memory of the resurrection of Jesus as the Christ. Theoretically, one might say that the Christ power, the Spirit power, the God power in Jesus, the man who was crucified, overrode the body and retook possession of it in a refined frequency. That's kind of technically what we could say. Of course, Christians tend to believe that Jesus is the only one that remanifested as a Christ conscious entity in what seems to be a solid, touchable body. However, history is replete with other accounts of other masters who have taken up their bodies and have appeared around the world at different times and different places. The uniqueness of reappearance after death is somehow, let's say, mystically misunderstood. People appear all the time to other people. And they're not what we might call saints, for sure. And yet, we don't give credence to what that may be suggesting. Is that if another quote-unquote soul entity appears to quote-unquote a living friend, relative, seeker, what have you, what does that mean? People see their quote-unquote dead relatives before they themselves leave the body. They have all kinds of visitations from different entities, souls, when they're in, let's say, dire need or trouble, or they need assistance, or they're separate from loved ones who are in danger. And somehow or other, their soul, quote-unquote, entity appears to them and communicates with them. So, what we really want to get at from the idea of continuance of soul is that soul is the priority energy field within the body, but is relegated to the second place through the energetics of interfacing with the physiology of the body. Archaeologists have been for many years digging into the past, thousands of years into the past. And it is interesting to note that they come across seeds that have been buried for thousands of years, maybe in containers, jars of clay or baskets, and somehow or other, or in caves. And when they go to plant those seeds to see if they're viable, they are. Now, there was a thousands of years interval between the harvest of the seed and its re-entry into a hospitable environment for growing, and it grows. Fine and dandy, thank you. So we might call a seed a container for a potential, for the potential plant. But in that seed is information for the plant, or it is a container for the soul of that plant. So the idea that someone might reincarnate, we're really talking about re-enlivening into another container to go on experiencing some kind of life form. Jesus was not what you might call happy-go-lucky about being crucified. He didn't want to be crucified. Jesus, the man, did not want to experience crucifixion. But Christ's power in Jesus, the man, knew that that was the assignment. Now, if you read the lives of masters throughout the world, you come across the same kind of knowledge that some things are not really comfy bodily, but they are willing to experience it as it is a directive of the soul's assignment in that body. The idea that a soul does not have capacity for material power is lost when you hear the stories of people who have encountered, quote, quote, dead masters or dead souls who in fact save a person from injury or death or starvation or you name it. They were tangible, capable manifestations and yet had been, quote, quote, out of the body for some time or were bilocated. There's stories all over the place of masters who were in one location and were active in another location, bilocation. And they were doing something physically tangible. So here we have a whole different set of values than there was one in history that had the soul capacity that Jesus had, Jesus Christ had. I and my Father are one. He was claiming soul power. He was claiming God power. And yet, he didn't, let's say, whistle his way to the cross. He was not thrilled about the adventure of being sacrificed by God power. If he was one with God, and God was saying, you know, this isn't a jolly journey, but this is a requirement to fulfill the destiny of teaching to mankind. And all the masters have gone through stuff like that. Kabir, Nanak, Gobind Singh, you know, you name it. And were they the only ones? Was Jesus the only one that took up his button? No. Nanak was covered by a sheet, and Muslims claimed him, and Hindus claimed him, and they were supposed to put flowers on either side to see which wilted and which ones did not, which would claim that they were the ones that he was most, let's say, attuned to. Neither of the flowers, let's say, wilted. When they took the sheet off, there was nobody home. Why didn't they notice that the sheet was flat? You see? And this is replete with other masters around the world. So the idea that there's one and only one, there's laws of function and physics that are activated on different frequencies, which if another is in that frequency, they are able to use those laws of physics. So, let's say that a mother sees her child run over by a car, and she runs and she's able to lift the car off of the child. At any other time, she would not be able to do that. But in that situation, she was. So she had entered into another dynamic of physics. And the whole idea of the path of the masters is you have to change the dynamic of physics you're using. If you're using the animal physics, the ego physics, that structure physics, that vehicle physics, and you're not moving beyond that physics signature to this signature of physics of soul. Sorry, you don't get to experience being in that dynamic of physics. It doesn't mean it's not there. The mother who lifted the car had another level of physics that she wouldn't use unless under some kind of horrific motivation. How many guys come back from war and they have stories that sound amazing? Sound amazing of heroic behavior. Get home and they don't know how to change a diaper. So they've left that heroic level of physics and they are back in the conditioned animal can't handle baby physics. So for me, the idea of Easter is a lovely time to draw attention to the fact that we're in-housed by different layers of physics, different layers of energy, and that all we're trying to do is get unstuck from conditioned animal level physics, normal psychological conditioning physics, what we've heard and what we've digested, and what we think physics. We think we can't, we think we aren't, and therefore we can't and we aren't. Most of the new training in pain management comes all about retraining your brain from the idea that this pain is real rather than this pain is real to the mind. The mind is creating the sensation of pain. The mind is interfering with the body functions that would allow, let's say, functional behavior rather than painful behavior. So here we are. The path of the masters is about changing the level of physics that you move on, the frequencies that you engage with more and more and more away from the pathologically, let's say, trained and addicted physics of the human interaction behavior, the biological behavior, beyond it, over it, manage it. If Jesus didn't override the biological physics of his body, let's say, in his tomb, his temporary tomb, how would he emerge 3 days later in a physical body? As spiritual light. One of the terms, the synonyms for resurrection is revitalization. revitalization, re-enlightened. Revital is light. Vital is light. Revital is, again, light. Revitalization. The light carries the signature of the plant. The light carries the signature of the animal. The light carries the signature of everything. Duh. Revitalization, resurrection. So, wait until, quote, quote, physical death to experience soul is what the masters came to tell you is nonsense. If you use certain frequencies often enough, frequently enough, you reactivate the real level of function possible in that body to connect and respond to soul direction rather than the animal conditioned direction. You know, it's either up or down. The whole idea is that if you can neutralize your position in duality, you have options. But if you're over to one side, it's like a pendulum or, you know, a scales, that if you're overweighted on one side, you can't access balance because you're off the ground. A teeter-totter up, a teeter-totter down. Level is a different experience. So, should we run around bemoaning the idea that there's such a thing as a handful of people that have transcended and seem to have different power? It's not different than the power that you would have if you transcended. It's different in the fact that you have to transcend more than one time. You have to transcend mucho many times, and further than just, hello, mommy, I'm glad you're in, you know, the happy land that you left the body. That's a nice, cordial introduction, but it isn't the destiny and the destination. The destination is you do not exist and God does. And nobody wants to hear that because you're thinking from an individual idea of separation mind. And the idea of death is like, la, 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 la. You're having a hissy fit. But if you've moved far enough into soul experience, frequency, that's what you long for. You long to merge into God and cease to exist as a separate entity. But you have to take it in stages, and that's what masters are for. When you trust the master, then you trust how the master is directing you on the inner planes. Just as Jesus had to trust God to make himself available to crucifixion. But in his quote-unquote resurrected condition, he didn't seem to have suffered much at all. Well, revitalization. I have a tree out here that was dead when I arrived at this property. The pear tree was dead, cut off, stump in the ground. Probably about 3 feet tall. And I sprayed it with sonic bloom and love. And it came back, the dead. It grew from the dead. And as I've told before, a story where when I used to fly to England, I had a friend and she lived up in Hampstead Heath, and in a, let's say, apartmentized mansion, and she was on the top floor. And she called me over to the window one fine day, and she said, look down at the gardens down below, and up just one set of houses, back garden. And I did, and there was a fruit tree there. And she said, that tree grew from a shovel handle. The man who lived there was planting his garden, and he ran out of markers to put at the end of the vegetable rows. And so he had an old shovel handle. And so he took the shovel handle and he stuck it in the ground as a marker to the end of a vegetable row so he'd know where his vegetables were. And lo and behold, it began to sprout. And it sprouted and sprouted and became this beautiful fruit tree. And he brought the garden club over one day to see the sprouted shovel handle. And they were utterly amazed, and they wrote it up in an agricultural magazine and a garden magazine, and people from around the world had come to look at the shovel handle fruit tree. The essence of the fruit tree was in the shovel handle. The essence of the fruit tree. The essence, the signature, the soul design of the fruit tree was in the shovel handle. The essence was in the dead trunk of the tree. So the idea that we don't have an archetype signature is nonsense. We have an archetype essence signature. And that can relocate from one dimension to another dimension, or from one vehicle to another vehicle. Is that called reincarnation? So, yes, but when someone finally comes to the path of the masters, the whole idea is that the masters are trying to get you out of the wheel of life, the cycle of going and coming, going and coming, and to finally free you from the cycle of incarnations in the material world. So, that's really the story of Jesus. He left lots of information as to how to end your reincarnation if you followed certain concepts. Man, know thyself really means know your soul self, your essence, not your matter. Being controlled by your essence, your transcendent, your archetypical self, not your biological self. But we're born into a biological body with biological parents who are nuts, and society's nuts. We get conditioned by nutty nuts. And so we have a hard time getting out of the cycle. And that's why the masters are such useful examples of potential. And to remind you, you are not the body. The body belongs to the soul. The soul does not belong to the body. But we live as though the soul belongs to the body. The body has rights. Okay. But the soul can make the body do all kinds of things that rights would not really enjoy. Like not eat for a lifetime and function, recorded in history. Walk on water. Biologically, that's not possible. So, all kinds of mysterious capabilities, loaves and fishes, bilocation, trilocation, being in two places at once, being able to do what a physical person could do, not just a ghost, but a physical person could do, like catch people falling off of high tension wires. Well, they're giving a satsang in Delhi. Okie dokie. Things like that are replete among the history of the masters. And of course, most of that is not recorded properly because it just ain't. So even if it is recorded, one group won't believe the other group's recordings, right? Yeah. Hard for the Muslims to believe the stories of Christ, and Christians hard to believe the stories of Muhammad and da da da, and Kabir and Nanak and Buddha and Confucius and you name it. Prejudice and conditioning. Conditioning produces prejudice. And we're all conditioned. And so the idea of breaking down the addiction to our conditioning is what the Path of the Masters is about. Methodology to change that. And just by lucky chance, it happens to be the funnest thing you can do. Be joyful. Be relaxed. Be still. Well, that's hard. Of course, joyful is pretty hard for some people. Smile, relax. When it's convenient, once in a while, you can't make the bed and relax at the same time, can you? Can you? Ever heard of athletes that get in the zone? They're not huffing and puffing anymore. They're just floating through. They got on a different frequency. So yeah, you can. You can make the bed and still relax. Yeah, you can cook and still relax. Yeah, you can shop and still relax. You can be joyful. You can be joyful. Yeah. Okay, driving the nail out of the coffin. You're not going to die, I'm sorry. So you might as well relax. You're not going to die. It doesn't mean that it won't appear that you did, but it appeared that Jesus did too. Nanak and the boys and Kripal and they look like they died. The saints, the Catholic saints, my God, how many times has Mother Mary appeared to people? We can hear it, and we can't connect it. And that's amazing. Some people don't even hear it. But if you hear it, and you think, isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. Mother Mary appeared to all the people at Fatima, and Master Kripal appeared in several different places, and Nanak, oh my gosh, and Kabir, well, Buddha. Let me see, how many times has Buddha appeared places? And it still doesn't strike home. It doesn't strike home that they are materialized on a different frequency. And so can you be. have to physically die to materialize in your soul's frequency. You won't be material as matter, but you may. If you transmute the matter, don't we have saints in glass coffins that didn't deteriorate? What happened? Their matter was transmuted. Their matter was transmuted. Well, it's nice to have Easter come around once in a while so we can talk about these subjects. So, my dears, it's a good thing to be joyful about. You ain't gonna die. Well, happy Easter. Maybe the egg is a pretty good symbol. Revitalizing. Maybe you can come back as a chicken. Of course, it's bunnies that carry eggs, isn't it? I wonder if you'll come back as a bunny instead of a chicken. Yes, yes, yes. Interesting that we use those symbols, isn't it? Oh, well. Let's not get it straight. Okay. The fairy tale that isn't helping much. But, you know, when they made the eggs out of chocolate, well, that was a little more interesting. Okay. Happy Easter.